let's begin the shiur. The topic for this evening is a question which I have been thinking about for a number of years, and first spoke about actually a few years ago in shul on a Friday night at an oneg. It was the Shabbos after Arafat had died. And we first considered this topic, and I was reminded of it, not only because of the connection, as you may anticipate, and we'll certainly surely see from the Parsha, but also having been in Eretz Yisrael just this past week, and having spent time, if not on the front line, but close to it in Sderot, and with many of the soldiers. So the official title of the shiur is, Should We Celebrate the Death of Hamas Terrorists? The Parsha's highlight, not so much as a narrative, but certainly in terms of the timeless significance of the Psukim, of course, is the Perek Tes Vav, which is the Perek of Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Sashira Azos LaShem, V'yomru Leimor, Ashira LaShem, Ki Go Goa, Tzus V'rachva Rama V'yom. This begins one of the most famous Prakim in Tanakh, something, of course, we daven every day. And this is in the aftermath of the Kriyas Yamsuf, and not just the Kriya, but specifically the drowning of the Egyptians in the Yamsuf, that the Jewish people, now finally assured of their geula, are now overjoyed with relief and sing out a song of praise and thanksgiving to the Rabbono Shel Olam. What is striking, especially in contrast to the obvious and overt theme of the Pasuk and the Psukim, is a well-known Chazal, which is quoted in two Gemaras, in the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Amud Beis, as well as the Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and that is that the Gemara darshening the Pasuk v'lo karazel zeh, that while the Jewish people did sing Oz Yashir, say Chazal, the Egyptians also wanted to sing Shira to Hashem, to thank the Rabbono Shel Olam for the destruction of the Egyptians. And Hashem got upset at them, and he silenced them, and he wouldn't let them sing. And he said, Ma'aseh yodai tovim v'yam, my creatures, the Egyptians, are drowning in the sea, and you want to celebrate at the moment of Shira, and therefore they are prohibited, they are prevented from singing. Of course, the obvious tension, which we'll try to be misyaches to, is if the Egyptians, if the Malachim weren't allowed to sing, if there was somehow something unethical, or at the very least impolite, about their singing in celebration of the Egyptians drowning, so why were the Jewish people allowed to sing in Oz Yashir? So let's try to develop this question and this sugya in a number of stages. First, starting with the Gemaras, which we began with, the famous Chazal, about Hashem not letting the Malachim sing. So the kind of ethic, and for lack of a better term, the very liberal and forbearing attitude that is connoted through these Mamari Chazal, let's first show and demonstrate and share a number of other Chazals and even Halachic Makaros, which seem to confirm this general forgiving attitude. First of all, there's a very well-known pasuk, Perek Chavdalet of Mishlei, Binafol Ivecha Al Tismach. You're not supposed to celebrate. It's a Beferish pasuk. Don't celebrate Perek Chavdalet pasuk Yizayin, Binafol Ivecha Al Tismach. Don't celebrate the downfall of your enemies. Furthermore, in Perek Dalet of Perek Yavos Shnachav Gimel, we're told that this was the Margula Bafume, the Shmuel HaKatan. The Shmuel HaKatan, this is one of his pillars of his life ethic. Binafol Ivecha Al Tismach, quoting this pasuk. Furthermore, a remarkable comment of the Meshech Chachma from last week's Parsha, where the holiday of Pesach is already referred to as Mikra Kodesh, and he points out that was before Kriyas Yamsuf. It was even before Bashalach. They had not been let go yet, and certainly the Egyptians hadn't been drowned and killed yet. And the Meshech Chachma is Madaik, it's a whole essay, but he says the fact that Mikra Kodesh, that we celebrate the holiday of Pesach even before Kriyas Yamsuf, says the Meshech Chachma, this highlights that our celebration is not for the downfall of our enemies, certainly not for their death, for their torture. A Jew, he says, never celebrates that. After all, he says, as we see in Mishlei, what we celebrate is our redemption, is our salvation and our geula. We never celebrate their downfall. And therefore, even before there was a downfall for them, we were already willing to celebrate. He says, when it comes to Purim, right? It was only days later. It was, you know, we don't necessarily focus on the destruction of the Persians or the wicked people with Haman as much as it is our celebration. Now, whenever you have someone who takes one or two incidental or specific facts and builds a whole theory out of it, so the more somebody extends something, you know, the more weak by definition it's going to be, the more vulnerable it's going to be. And I'm not convinced necessarily by everything in that Mesha Chachma. But again, it's striking, the Mesha Chachma, you know, Migadol Me'a Mesha Chachma, certainly a very significant source, and he doesn't just see this as a Taich Verta in a Pasuk. He mamish builds a Bama, he has a whole world view based on the Psukim in our storyline. Furthermore, this idea is given some kind of halachic significance as well by quite a few Makoros. The Beis Yosef in Or HaChaim in Siman Tov Tzadik quotes the Shibole HaLeket, who in turn is quoting an obscure source known as the Medrash Harninu, that says something that we're all no doubt familiar with, that the reason that unlike on Sukkot, on Pesach, we only say a full Hallel on the first days, but Chol HaMoed in the second days we say a half Hallel, says the Medrash, says the Shibole HaLeket, quoted by the Beis Yosef. It's because of this very idea, the very idea that we started with from the Gemara Megillah and the Gemara Sanhedrin. I guess it's important to note, the Gemara Megillah and the Gemara Sanhedrin don't say anything about Hallel or Pesach. They just tell you the story of Hashem and the angels. But these Makoros take it one step further, building on that, say, ah, you see that Hashem didn't let the angels sing. That's why we don't sing the rest of Yontif, because we can't sing a full Hallel on Shvi Shal Pesach, because that's the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf, and we're not going to say a full Hallel on Chol HaMoed, because then it'll make Chol HaMoed look more kadosh than the second days. As a result, we only say a full Hallel on the first days, everything else after that. And this is not just in a Favarf, in a Medrash, or even a Yalkut, or even a Shibole HaLeket. This is quoted by the Maharil and Hilchos Tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Tav Tzadi, Siv Dalet, doesn't give you any explanations, but he does Paskin, as we know, that you only say a half Hallel. And if you take a look in the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah there, they both give you this explanation with all the bibliography from the Beis Yosef to the Shibole HaLeket to the Medrash Harninu to the Gemaras, that the reason we say half Hallel on the second day's Pesach is because of Ma'ase Yadai Tovim B'Yam, Nebuch, Nebuch for the poor Egyptians. Enechanami, I would. There's no reason to assume it at all. Enechanami, and in part, that's where you see some who distinguish between Az Yashir and other types of. That's right. And there are other poskim, and you know, who speak about the Shir Shal Yom. You know, I'll tell you where this is also mentioned, Sammy, in a different vein, but the idea that this is a similar vein to what you're pointing out, you're correct, about how the term Shira can't always be universal, when they speak about the fact that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, not just half Hallel, we don't say any Hallel. And the Gemara there famously says, at the moment, Shira. So I think I saw this has gone back at least 10 years, but you jogged my memory. I think it was in Rabbi Pesach Frank Sefer that he quoted a discussion with the Briska Rav and others. Well, then how can we say the Shir Shel Yom? Aye, it's called a shir. The shir is halavim. Well, you know, not all songs are equal. So enechanami, which is why just because you learned the Gemara and our parsha doesn't mean you would jump to this enechanami. It's a jump. I think you're right to point that out.
I've always wondered why don't you think after yoda and yoda and
So Enochanami, but that was the same anniversary of the end. No, I take that back. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not sure. Maybe they're just as overriding because the Kedusha, you have to say. I'm not sure. Anyway, and I'll tell you, just to give you a fast forward, you know, once this is on the book, a real echo of this, Rav Avadji Yosef, in his Tshuvas Yabia Omer, Chelek Vav, Sima Mem Aleph. Anyone know what that Tshuva is about? He only has hundreds. Well, don't you all know this one? This is the Yom Ha'atzma'ut Tshuva. Do you say Hal on Yom Ha'atzma'ut? Which Rav Avadji takes as a very serious Shaila. So one of the arguments in the context of that Tshuva, where he argues against saying Hallel, he quotes our memories. And he says, if you see from Chazal that we don't say Shira on Mapalason Shel Oivim, so he says in the Milchemet HaShechror, in the Independence Day War, many of our Arab friends were killed. And Kol Shekin, he says, many Yidden were killed. Not like Mitzrayim, where we got off scot-free. So he says, if we wouldn't say a Shira, a Hallel for Pesach, quoting the Medrash Arninu in Pesach, when Mitzrayim died. So the Arabs are no worse than the Mitzrayim. I'm not saying, again, I'm only pointing out that it's quoted. Not that, first of all, his tshuva doesn't rise and fall on that one point. But, Enechanami, and if you take, so the, what's an example? Why we say, who said we're saying Hallel because of that? Who said we're saying, that's always the big issue, right? What are we celebrating on Hanukkah? Not so poshut. My Hanukkah, right? Pasha, it's not so poshut.
Our Persian friends died.
Right. First of all, there's different answers to that question. And second of all, as I said, the Mesha Chochma says, Adarabo, the stress of Purim is not on the downfall of the enemies, but rather on our Yeshua. Again? You could, maybe that's why the others who would disagree, right? Enechanami. And I'm just pointing out, it's a long tshuva, but it's striking that Rav Avadji throws this in. So again, you see that he takes the idea very seriously. All of this is mitzad echad. However, mitzad sheni. In Mishlei itself, we quoted Mishlei b'nefolei vecha al tesmach, but 13 prakim earlier in Mishlei, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, says the same sefer, ba'avod rishayim rina, that we dafka do celebrate the death and the destruction of Rishayim. Furthermore, while these two Gemaras that we mentioned seem to say we should be very sensitive to the Ma'as Yodai Tovim B'yam, Mi'iduch, the Gemara in Brachos, Da'av Tesam Adveiz, says in a very sensational passage that David HaMelech, with all the Kapitlach, never really said a full, lebedic, enjoyable Shira until the destruction of Rishayim, until he witnessed the downfall of Rishayim. And only then did David HaMelech truly sing out Shira to Hashem. It definitely.
There's so many psukim that I want to show my oasis, I want to show my moedim. So they were the object of showing.
Well, I wasn't sure where you were going. I wasn't sure you were going. What I thought you were going to say was maybe it depends on during or after. And, you know, there's during the event, and then there's after. I thought that's what I thought you were, and there are poskim who are going to say that.
One did not come close to the other, called Halayla.
Right.
And all of the oasis was after.
Saying so. So the malachim wanted to sing during. The Jews of Yosher happened after. So that chiluk, we're going to see, there are some who say.
There would be a difference that the Mitzrim, by the Yom, by that point, in other words, essentially from after.
You're talking about after they're dead or before?
No, before they're dead.
But then, was there a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem?
Once Hashem says, it's Laman to be married by my oasis, yeah. So in other words, at that point, the Mitzrim are objects, they're not subjects so much.
I don't know why that's true, though. They're still human beings. I mean,
no, I'm saying they're objects in the sense that Hashem has said there's a path that's happening and I'm going to be mechazik leparo. There's no way for him to stop it.
So I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it and I didn't see it. Let's put it that way. So, not only do we have these makaros, but there's a Maseches Smochus, which is quoted the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos in Yerideya, that says if you have a Rosha who dies, the context there is a Poreich Midarchei Tzibur. The Shaila is, when he dies, what about his relatives? And the Maseches Smochus says that the relatives don't mourn, but they celebrate on some level. They don't wear Shchorim, which was the original Minog. They wore Levanim. They wore white. Because a Rosha died, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina, a And the Shach there, the Shach in Yeridea, quotes this pasuk in Mishlei, not Perek Chav Dalid, Binefolay Vechal Tismach, Perek Yud Aleph, Abad Roshayim Rina. So you see, many, many Makoros that are dafka mamish the opposite, that say instead of being so forbearing and so broken hearted about the enemy's defeats, Adarabba, we should celebrate when a Russia or an enemy is killed. We'll see that Gemara, I think.
Is there a difference between Russia and Ayyub?
Perhaps. The Marsha is bothered. How do we understand what you know? We have the Stira, but more specifically, L'cha'ora, if you'll forgive me, the liberals have the trump card, because don't they have Haif Halel? Oh, until now we got Agaritas here and there, but there you have Mamasha Halacha that we say only Haif Halel. So this bothered the Marsha. The Marsha in Brachos Taf Yoram Beis, he's bothered. There, that's the Gemara about David HaMelech, that he's singing because of the downfall of Rishayim. Sefrek the Marsha, this goes against everything we know and love about Benefulay Vech Al Tismach and a half halal on Pesach, Masiyad Tovim V'yam. We all heard about it in day school. So says the Marsha, one second. This Medrash Harninu, this obscure source, it goes against a much more mainstream halachic source. The Gemara in Erchin, and Daf Yoram Aleph and Yoram Beis, discusses what days you say Hallel full, Hallel not full, and the Gemara there says Beferish, you only say half Hallel on the second day of Pesach, unlike Sukkot, where we say a whole Hallel the whole time. And how come, says the Gemara, nothing to do with angels, nothing to do with Rishoyim, nothing to do with Mitzrayim, nothing so fancy. It has to do with Karbanas. Boring. But it's the truth. Says the Marsha, it's a Gemara in Erechin. Unlike Sukkis, where every day is new Karbonos, not so by Pesach, and therefore, since it's not new Karbonos every day, unlike Sukkis, where there's a new Kedushas Hayom every day, on Pesach, it's the Kedushas Hayom of the first days, which is just spread out over seven. But it's not a new Kedusha every day, and therefore it's not a new Mechayev for a new Hallel every day. So therefore we only say a half, as opposed to on Sukkot, where we say a whole. So says the Marsha, that Gemara in Erchin, which is at least as bona fide a source as the Medrash Harninu, that is in total disagreement with the Medrash. The Gemara gives a completely different reason. So all of these Makaros, and these sources, and these Mefarshim, who seem to take the Ba'avad Roshayim Rina approach, they don't have a problem with a half halal on Pesach. Adarabba, they're golden. They got a Gemara and Erechin that they can rely on. So we can take the general approach that we're happy when Roshayim die. So how come we don't say whole halal the whole Pesach? That's a technicality that has to do with Karbonos. Furthermore, the Marsha in Sanhedrin, Marsha Lashitaso, I just quoted you the Marsha Brachos, but the Marsha in Sanhedrin also says that if you just held like the Medrash, that it's because of Nebuch, the poor Egyptians, because that would only have explained why they didn't sing at that moment. But why don't we sing thousands of years later? Why can't we say, Yashir, they died already. What's the big deal? We have to be brokenhearted forever. So he, again, I'm not saying you couldn't disagree with this, but I'm just saying what he says. What he says is, Enchanami, that would only explain that night. But you need the Gemara and Erechin to explain why Lidoros, we only say a half hollow. So the Marsha clearly is in this camp of the Ba'avad Rosh Hashanah approach, and therefore he neutralizes the whole issue of half hollow. Furthermore, I found, this Itaka found a few years ago when I gave the shir about Arafat, so I found that there's another version of the Medrash. All of these Mefarshim, and again, it gets quoted by Beis Yosef, even the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Girsa for this Medrash Harninu of Maisa Yodai Tovim V'yam. However, if you take a look at a more mainstream Medrash even, there's a parallel Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Chav Gimel, and there you have an almost identical dialogue, but it's very different. The way the Medrash there portrays the event with the Malachim is that in the beginning of the story, when the Jewish people are threatened, trapped between the Yam Suf and, you know, they're on the run from the Mitzrayim, then the angel said, let's say, Shira, and the response by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Legionosai, my legions, who are the legionos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Jewish people are vulnerable and threatened, and you want to sing Shira? So according to that version of the Medrash, it was an issue of timing that was inappropriate by the angels. That's a kind of technicality. But fundamentally, it's a whole different story. It's not a different version. It's mamash, a different story. It's not that we're so forbearing and caring about the poor Egyptians, Adarabba. It's that at the time the angels wanted to sing, the Jewish people themselves were vulnerable. It wasn't the right time. But according to this version, even the story with the malachim is not a mucker for this idea of feeling bad for your enemies. Again, I don't know that, again, clearly by the Rishonim, and even, you know, the Noskem Shulchan Aruch, they don't ever quote this version of the Medrash Rabbah. But certainly if you take that approach, it would certainly neutralize this makar as well. And one final point, before we get to some ways of being miyashiv, the two different schools of thought, but another issue which comes up on Pesach, for some reason Pesach is a holiday where a lot of these things coalesce, so it's not just an issue of Hallel. What's the other thing which Lechora on Pesach highlights this idea of how lovey-dovey the Jewish people always are, and we love our enemies even so much? The dipping of the wine, right? Everyone knows, why do we dip from the wine? Because Nebuch, even though we're so happy, but every time the Makkos came, that was bad for the poor Egyptians. So there's a very incredible work, which if you don't have, it's kedai to have. It's a 3-volume work. I don't remember. It's a contemporary author called Haseder Ha'aruch. L'shmo Kein Hu. It's a long book. 3 volumes. But Imamish has in Halacha, and particularly in Hashakaf and Machshava, like everything you'd want to know. There's like, I don't know, 100 plus chapters altogether on like every aspect of the Seder night and the Seder. And if you take a look in his chapter on the issue with the dipping, he quotes a number of Mara Makamas which not only neutralize this well-known idea, but are mamish pumfakert. And he quoted a Yerushalmi, which I would not have otherwise known about, but he quotes a Yerushalmi which says just the opposite. Why do we have Dalet Kosov, says the Yerushalmi? Because of the 4 different Puranos that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring against our enemies. And why do we dip from each cup? As if to show that the makis that the Mitzriim got at the time is nothing but a tipa shebiyam, a drop in the bucket for the pachin peh that they're going to get, l'asad lavo. So it's not, we love you so much, we feel so bad, it's adarabba. You think Dam was bad? You think Barod was bad? Get ready for the second coming. You'll be in big trouble. Hashem's going to give a second version of this Makkos at some point, and you're going to be wishing for the old Makkos. That says the Yerushalmi, that's why we dip. It's mamish 360 degrees. It's completely, 180, I guess, to be more precise. It's a completely different perspectives. And he says, in another reason, another version, why do we dip? Well, just like people dip by Havdalah as a Siman Bracha, so too by the Makkos that the Mitzriim getting, that's a Siman Bracha for us. Again, a completely different approach. We're happy that they are dying. We're happy that they're getting beaten up. Not that we're sad. So Lamaisa, with all of this now, we've basically seen, you know, 2 very different groups of Marmakomis. Those which seem to be very forbearing and forgiving, and we love the community of man, and we're all, you know, everyone's wonderful, and Nebuch, that you didn't like us, but we love you anyway. And then we have a whole other group of Marmakomus, which are, you know, more Yikov than a Sahar. You know, you're our enemy, so we'll be your enemy, and you don't like us, we're not going to like you, and then we're not going to shed any tears over you. These things can be very far-reaching. So, let me just crystallize the stira, if you will, or the potential conflict, and then I want to share with you what I think I found, and this is really building on, some of the stuff is new, I did not know this a few years ago, and I certainly reorganized my thoughts anyway, 6 different approaches to this. 6 basic approaches. But before that, just to crystallize the issue, so one way to think about it is Mishlei versus Mishlei. The 2 psukim of Mishlei would seem to be Beferish Estira. Furthermore, one thing which I didn't specify so clearly, but it's worth mentioning, because some of the Marmakomas, including some of the ones we're going to get to initially, also focus in this way, is in Chazal, not in Tanakh, but in Chazal, in the personality of Shmuel HaKotan. On the one hand, we mentioned in Perkei Avos, as I already mentioned, that Shmuel HaKotan was known, he used to say, B'nefolei Vechal Tismach. But some of Farshim ask, how could it be then that the very same Shmuel HaKotan, B'nefolei Vechal Tismach, oh, I love everybody. He is the one, says the Gemara in Brachos, he is the one, Daf Chaf Ches, who was the one who authored V'lamal Shinim. Right? It's the only negative, if you will, even almost hateful tefillah that we have. Usually we're davening just for positive things. V'lamal Shinim, you should have no tikva, destruction, no hope. How could it be? What kind of person? How could he, you know, schizophrenic? So, no more schizophrenic initially. What's going on? So I want to share six possible approaches. One approach, I want to combine thought of Rabbeinu Yonah and his commentary on Mishlei, and Rav Kook and his commentary to the Siddur. Rabbeinu Yonah, in Perchav Dalid of Mishlei, says it depends on the person's kavana. How l'shem shamayim are you? You know, let's be honest. When you have someone who has been giving you a hard time for a while, and all of a sudden now the tables get turned, and Hashem makes a big yeshua for you, so are you really happy because it's a Kiddush Hashem? Are you really happy because now that he's not beating you up, you'll be able to live free and do mitzvahs and worship Hashem without persecution? Or are you like a normal, I don't think it makes you a bad person, it just makes you a very normal person, who enjoys a bit, you know, a little cold dish of revenge? There's a certain, maybe base, but it's still very human. Huh? Yeah, there's a certain end. And I'm saying, so, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, it may be normal, but that's not what the Torah wants, higher than that. If that's all it is, it's just a normal human, you know, thirst or a lust for revenge, so then we say, B'nefolei Vechal Tismach. You don't celebrate in some selfish way for the destruction of the enemies. But if you could be Lu Yitzuyer, if you could be totally L'Shem Shamayim, and you're just happy because this Russia is getting what he deserves, and therefore it's a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, after all, you know, when Rishayim are prospering, it's a Chil Hashem. People always say, and when the Jewish people are down on the ground, that's, you know, we invite all the Chil Hashem. Ooh, if the Jewish people were so chosen, how could they be so downtrodden? Right, that was the Christian argument. Out of supersession, that the Jews were once chosen, but then they, you know, and the Raya of the Church, until 1948, it was the biggest steerer to them, was look how God treats his people. You think they're really chosen? So if all of a sudden, if you could be so l'shem shamayim, that you're happy that when the Rishayim get destroyed, it's just because of Gilui Shechina and Malchus Kvod Shamayim, so then, says Rabbeinu Yonah, so then we say Ba'avad Rishayim Rina. And not quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, but I'm tushtelling, I'm putting them together. Rav Kook, in a very famous passage in his commentary on the Siddur, the Olas Re'iyah, says something basically identical, not by being Miyashev Mishlei, by being Miyashev Shmuel HaKotan. Says Rav Kook, it's a very well-known passage in Rav Kook Siddur, he says it's not a stira that the same Shmuel HaKotan, who used to say, B'nefolei Vechal Tismach V'lam HaShaninim, Adarab, but that's gufa the point. Says Rav Kook, when you're going to write a tefillah like this that's so negative, if there would even be a shemetz of personal interest, of lo l'shem shamayim kite, that would passel the tefillah. The only way you have a right to daven for the downfall or destruction of another person is if you're 100% with no negias and 100% l'shem shamayim. Even among the chachamim, they couldn't find somebody like that, says the Gemara. The chachamim were big tzaddikim, but they were also human. The only one who was so kimat, beyond human, who could totally divest himself of any personal negias, even for the minim who were making the lives of the chum so miserable, only Shmuel HaKotan, who Arab, his whole life was b'nefolei Vechal Tismach, he took no personal satisfaction in their destruction. Oh, you, Davka, you who are not going to take any personal satisfaction, you are the right one to author this tefillah. So it's mamish the same idea of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says in Mishlei, Rav Kook says about Shmuel Cotton. So that's approach number one. It depends on your kavana. Approach number two, I saw in a number of sources. Again, I'm putting them together, but I think that they'll go together. And that is, it depends on the type of Russia. Not it depends on you, it depends on him. the Shlo HaKadosh in our Parsha, in Parsha's Bashalach, quotes from a Zohar in Noach that says that as big as Rishayim as the Mitzrayim were, they were not total Rishayim. They were not total Rishayim. They were not as wicked as they could have been. You know, we often think of people's potential for good, and certain person didn't live up to their potential. Says the Zohar, the Egyptians didn't live down to theirs.
We limited to three or four generations, you know, from Mitzrayim.
Okay, that's also true.
But
the Zohar says that they had the potential, their measure, they had the potential for far more wickedness. Lo nismale sa'asam, says the Shlo HaKadosh, quoting from the Zohar, they did not do all the evil that they had the potential for, and someone who was not completely evil, so then we say, b'nefalai vecha al tismach. The only time we would say, ba'avad Rishayim Rina, where we would celebrate the destruction, is somebody who was mamish, at least on their level, completely and totally wicked. Again, he doesn't give an example. He just says that the Mitzrayim were not. That's why Hashem said to the angels, you can't sing Shira. Furthermore, the Tzlach in Brachos there on Daf Yudah Mabez, the Tzlach, quote, that's the Tzlach is the note of Yudah in his commentary to Gemara. The Tzlach on Brachos quotes from his son-in-law, who uses this same Zohar to explain the Marsha's question. The Marsha had asked, how could David HaMelech celebrate if the angels weren't allowed to sing? So the Tzlach says, whatever the Levites, you can take a look at the Gemara there for the details of that story, but the story that David saw where a Rasha was destroyed, that was someone who was a full Rasha, who had lived up to all of his potential of Rishus. As opposed to the Mitzrayim, as we see from the Zohar, they did not. Furthermore, again, a similar idea, a third Maramakum that takes this basic approach is the Nesivus. The Nesivus in his commentary, Nesivus HaMishpat, the Baal Nesivus HaMishpat, of Yaakov Milisa, in his commentary to the Gemara Brachos, which is called the MS Liyakov, I believe. So there, he says that, again, speaking generally, without quoting the Zohar, but it's the same idea, he says it depends, is the person be'etzem, suffused with rishus, or is it just that he's a good guy who did rishus? Or not even a good guy, just a parv guy. Yes. Again, so there Bruria was speaking as a hashkafa, as not much about the person. But the Nesiva says it depends. Someone who's be'etzem or Rasha. Like we have this by the Bali Musar speak about all the time, in a good sense, right? You can give tzedakah, or you can be a Baal tzedakah. Right? You can give charity, or you can be a charitable person. It's about your mido. What's your personality trait? So the Nesiva says it, again, along the lines of this Zohar and the Tzlach in the opposite direction. You could do rishus, or you could be a rosh of be'etzem. If you're a rosh of be'etzem, avad rosh hamina, then we're happy when you're gone. But if you're just a guy who does bad things, then we say don't celebrate b'nefolai vecha al tismach. And I saw that Rav Shechter quoted from in the Nefesh HaRav, I don't remember the exact context, but he quoted from the Rav, again, a similar idea, and he used the mashal of kashering, right? A metal keli that absorbs treif can be kashered. Earthenware keli that absorbs treif, you got to throw it out. You can't. He says hagola doesn't work for anything. Something that's a little bit on the surface, so it can be expunged through tshuva. It can be expunged through hagola. That's one thing. But the assumption is, again, whether this is chemically or metaphysically, but that a blia that's in an earthenware object, so then it's mamish batsim, and therefore hagola won't work. Tshuva won't work. He's irredeemable. So too here, if you have an irredeemable Russia like the Nesiva speaks about, so then we say Ba'avad Rosh Hamrina. But if you have someone that's just on the surface, Hagola would work. Just get rid of the Rishus, and you have a good guy there. So then we would do Hagola, we could do Tshuva, we would not necessarily celebrate. So that's approach number two. Not that it depends on our Kavana, but that it depends on the type of Russia. Are we happy or are we not? Approach number three. That's not that Gemara, is that Dafyur? I'm saying no, but I quoted a Gemara Megillah at the beginning of the year that has that talks about Gemara Megillah Dafyur speaks about our parsha. It's about the Malachim. I don't remember. It says something about Mordechai there too. Wait. Naniach that it does. What were you going to say?
So Haman is certainly not a parv guy who's
You mean how would the Nesivos answer that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't quote. One thing I know, the Nesivos did not quote. He's talking about the Gemara Brachos, the story with David HaMelech. Again, the bottom line though is, Joel, and again, I admit to me this is a Chiddush too, but apparently the Zohar says it. I would have thought that the Rasha is Haman any worse than the Mitzrayim? So you would all, to me it's a little bit of a Chiddush to say that the Mitzrayim could have been worse than they were. Right, I hear. Again, I just want to clarify. Ben Yonah was commenting on the Pesukim Mishnah. He didn't quote that.
Okay.
Well, I'm applying it, you know, in general.
Right.
Yeah, Enochanami. Not all of these are going to work for all the Makaros. I think that's fair. So let me give you a few more. A third approach is quoted in the Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel is like a Likut, a classical Likut on Perkei Avos, and he gives a few answers to this question. One of the answers that Medrash Shmuel quotes is it depends on what type of Rasha he is. Was he a communal Rasha? Or just your personal Russia? As an enemy of the Jewish people, an enemy of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Avad or Sharmina, we're going to be excited when he gets killed. But if it's just, you know, the neighbor from hell, you know, who's Nebuch, who moved in on your block, and he's constantly making your life miserable, and then one day it turns out he's shoveling snow, and he's gone, so then we say, you know, Avinifolai Vechal Tismach, you know? That, if he did wrong, let him answer with the Baruch Shalom, but that you don't get to be happy about. So he says, maybe that was also pshat, that maybe there was too much of a negius. Again, it's not exactly the same thing about Kavona, but it depends on, again, what type of Rasha he was, not how bad quantitatively, but who was his focus. Another approach is quoted by the Maharal. The Maharal, in his commentary on Perkei Avos, is called the Derech HaChaim, and he seems to say a very interesting thing. And this mamish I touched up, this maral I quoted a few years ago, and I applied it in a negative way, but I applied it to the Arafat situation. Says the maral, it depends on how he dies. Here it could be a difference between Arafat and the war with Hamas. So it depends on how he dies. If he dies, machmas is rishus, where it's clear that he's dying as a zar din because he's a Russia, so then we say, Bavar Shaim Rina, beautiful. But if he died, stam. But we know he was a Russia. But he happened to die. Then we say there was no great gilui of the quote Shemayim in his death, and then we don't celebrate. So I mentioned then, Arafat died like a mensch in a hospital. He lived like a chaya, but he died like a mensch. He died in a hospital in France with covered malachim. According to the maral, there's nothing to celebrate, as opposed to Chmeisa Hamaskai, who dies with, or something like
suicide.
Yeah, or, I don't know, suicide, maybe again, he took his own life, I don't know, but the bottom line is, when you die, because the Jewish people kill you, fighting you because you're a Russia and you're wicked, it's an Adarab, according to the Maral, I think, for sure, in those type of death, you would say, absolutely, those people died because of the Rishus, or Haman, exactly, and then you would say, celebrate that. A fifth approach, we're almost done, two more. The fifth approach is in the Maharam Shik, in his commentary on our Parsha. The Maharam Shik is another chiluk. It's hard for me to understand what cases like this would be, but he says it depends. Would the Rasha needed to be killed for the Yeshua, or could the Yeshua have happened anyway without the death? So he says when it came, the Yeshua for the Jewish people was that the Kriyas Yom Suf had to happen. It didn't have to fall back on the Mitzrayim. They're already on the other side. As they could have fallen back before they got in. Or they could have crossed and the Jewish people could have just outrun them. You know, if Hashem wanted to do a miracle, he'd come in the Jewish people like the roadrunner and they would have just run away. It wasn't necessary for the Yeshua, for the Egyptians to get killed. And therefore, says the Maharam Shik on our Parsha, that's why Hashem said to Malachim, don't sin. But theoretically, if you'd have a case where the only way the Yeshua would have come is by the death of the Oyev, so then that's the type of cases, those small number of cases, is where, says the Maharam Shik, you would say, about Avod Rishayim Rina. And finally, a sixth approach is also by a Leket, a group of Marmakombas, and this is what I thought maybe Sam Sperling was referring to a while back, and that is the question of when are we talking about? We're not now being Machalik between my Kavanas, we're not being Machalik between the type of Russia, it's just a question of timing. You know, in life, timing is very, very critical. Says the Chidah in his commentary on our parsha called the Rosh David, and as well as the Chuvos Chavos Yoyer Simen Reish Chav Hei, Then it all depends on the timing. When is it usher to sing and to celebrate? During the destruction. While the Mitzrayim are drowning, so then we don't celebrate. But Lashana Hava, so to speak, at the next year, or even at the next year, when the Jewish people are already on the Yamsuf, on the other side, and it already happened, the Mitzrayim are already dead, so then they say, then there's no problem. In fact, the Chidah is Medayik. So that's why the Pasuk says, V'yar Yisrael es Mitzrayim me'isas v'asayam. Only once they saw that they had died, it already happens. What happened, happened. So then we celebrate. As opposed to the Malachim, they jumped the gun, so they wanted to sing, B'shas Ma'isa. So just to mention, some people you asked before, so the, all of these chilukim, these six chilukim, not all of them work as well for Oz Yashir as others. So for example, the chiluk of the Maram Shik, or for that matter of this Shla, I think was mentioned before, about are they a Rasha of the Etzem or not, L'chora, if the Mitzrayim weren't, if we said that the reason that the angels couldn't sing was because the Mitzrayim weren't totally Rasha, then how come Oz Yashir, how come the Jewish people could sing? So again, here's where you get it. So I mentioned before a similar answer, and I admit, I don't have a better answer, so I'm giving you what I have, but I understand that this is potentially weak, so to speak, but the number of the Mufsfarim, the Chidah that I quoted, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in the Yaros Dvash, in the beginning of Chelik Beis, as well as Rabbi Isla Velozhin and the Pekarosh, so they all make the point that Oz Yashir is not a song about the downfall of the Egyptians, it's a song about the Yeshua of the Jews. So maybe that's a way to, so to speak, have your cake and eat it too, that the Egypt, that the Mitzrayim, that the angels wanted to sing about the Mapalasan of the Mitzrayim. Hashem says, no, we don't celebrate, we don't celebrate the destruction of even wicked people. The Jewish people wanted to sing, not for the downfall, but just for their own Yeshua. So perhaps that's why they were dafka allowed to sing. But yehi ma shehi, we have a variety of different approaches. And again, I think that the overall kind of, to me, the take home message is that on the one hand, I don't think as so often is the case. I guess just often, always is the case. The Torah never calls on us to be less than or more than human. The Torah, unlike other religions, is very real. And the human feelings of satisfaction and relief when our enemies are destroyed, it's hard for me to believe that the Torah would completely negate such feelings. Other religions take such approaches. I think they're dishonest and unhuman. On the other hand, the Torah is always looking to elevate. And it is true. Again, we have to remember the words of the Medrash. Ma'asa yada, even the Egyptians or even the Arabs, v'chulei, as wicked as they are still ma'asa Hashem. And that is, we see things with complexity. And this is an example of it. I'll just end, though, with my favorite Medrash. I've, in other contexts, dubbed this Medrash the UN, or I should say the anti-UN. But the Medrash points out, again, when we have this balancing of emotions or attitudes, so it's worth keeping the balance in proper proportion. Balance can be complicated, but the Medrash makes the very famous and very, to me, until the UN existed, like Klal Yisrael could never understand this Medrash. But the Medrash very famously says that someone who is too forgiving and too much a Rachman on people who don't deserve Rachmanis, not only is that a bad thing, but the Medrash goes much more insightful. It says, Sofo lios achzer al Rachmanim. You'll end up being cruel to people who deserve mercy. It's mamash the UN. That has too much Rachmanis on the people who don't deserve it, the Arabs. And not only is that a problem, but once your moral compass is so messed up, you end up becoming cruel on people who deserve mercy. So here you have exactly this kind of balance that we're trying to strike. Not so much mercy as much as it is forbearance or forgiveness, or at least lack of celebration, balancing that with, again, a very human... You know, I have to tell you, I'm very much, certainly with what we have to deal with, the Ba'avad Rosh HaMrina rings... It's true, during the war, or even for that matter, when you hear about, oh, Israel had a strike and it got so-and-so, that, I smile. I definitely smile, and again, we try to be l'shem shemayim about this, and certainly our makoros that it support it, but we should.
We don't give out candy.
We should, we should. Listen, Lu Yitzuyer, what would be? Would it be even better if Ahmadinejad became a Baal Tshuva and worked for NJAP? I mean, it would be wonderful. But until he's willing to do that, I would be happy if the Israelis killed him. Good Shabbos.